All right, as we get ready to look through the window of baseball brought to us by Truitt & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors, we bring in Bruce Jenkins of the San Francisco Chronicle. Bruce, how are you today?
Doing well, Marty. Happy weekend to you.
Yeah, July 4th is here, and I don't know if you're listening, but, you know, we've got six division leaders, and then you got about 15 teams that are still thinking wild card. The division leaders may stay where they are, but this wild card thing could be crazy.
Yeah, probably, you know, thank goodness when that's going to come down late. It's going to be great, and it's going to be some really compelling teams. I mean, you look at a team like Houston, you know, they just can't catch the Rangers to save their lives, but they're really playing good ball, and they're very watchable. Now they got Carlos Gomez joining that crowd with Correa and Altuve and Springer, and, you know, that's just one example. I mean, you know, who knows what happens, you know, between are the Mets going to get in there? Are the Cardinals going to get in there? The Dodgers? That's going to be just, you know, that wild card game itself, those two crazy one and out wild card games could be incredibly dramatic.
Yeah, and look at the American League. As I said, you got Boston and Houston, as you just pointed out, but then Kansas City's a half out. Toronto is a game out. If they make it through the season, they played 19 innings yesterday, but Detroit is a game out, and Seattle's two out, the White Sox three, and the Yankees three and a half. So I think the American League may be the nuttiest. I think the National League will sort itself out, but I think the American League is wild.
Yeah, you know, you're going to get, you know, maybe David Ortiz in there, you know, Donaldson and all the Toronto guys, Bautista, the Kansas City, we're very familiar with them. Maybe get Miguel Cabrera. You see, Al Kaline said he's the most impressive hitter he's ever seen in a Detroit Tigers uniform. That was pretty impressive.
I didn't see that. Wow.
Yeah, Al Kaline paid him that compliment. So, the National League is obvious because we're all familiar with the contenders there. But I think the American League is going to be just as good in its way.
I wonder if Crawford, if he's going to get voted in by his peers, because I was looking at today, this Kyle Seager, Trevor Story. These are kids, Cozart, kids. Yeah. Addison Russell is going to win the popular vote. I imagine that's probably a done deal. But Crawford, Bruce, you know, you watch this guy day in and day out, and I know you saw a lot of Giants baseball this week. He's getting better.
Oh, yeah. He's really the guy. He's the guy among National League shortstops now. You know, Russell is obviously the future. He's fantastic. He's in that category, you know, with Lindor and Correa and all these hotshot young guys. He's not really, you know, he's not the hitter that Crawford is by any means right now. And what you want any more defense from Crawford? The guy's just phenomenal. So I really think he's the guy. Corey Seager, another guy, is the future. He's really, really looking good for the Dodgers. But and Trevor Story, but, you know, it's Crawford's time. I really think he should be starting the game. I don't think that's a homer call.
Now, we talked a little bit about this last week. Cody tells me, I think Tuesday is when they announce everything, so we'll find out. But as some of the players said, look, you can vote in anyone you want, but let the manager put the team on the field. I don't know if they'll ever they'll never resolve this. It goes back to 1933 with Arch Ward of the Chicago Tribune. He put the ballots in the newspaper, and that's how the All-Star game started.
Yeah, you and I were very upset then. So,
and I subscribed to that Chicago Tribune. But what he did was he put the ballots in papers all around the country, and you had to mail it into the. When do they still have mail? I guess they can. You still mail things? I guess you can, right?
I mailed something about a week ago. So yeah, but you had the great Cincinnati controversy where they voted all their guys in the 50s. You know, Wally Post was getting in there and. Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of shenanigans.
Well, here
and I don't know if there's any one way to make it right, but the game usually comes around and it's a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, and it works itself out, truthfully.
Yeah.
And then it's over with. Then all of a sudden things start to look up again because now at the end of this month, and, you know, we've been down this road, you and I, a lot of times, teams sort of disappear. From the day the All-Star game ends to August 1st, some teams just say bye-bye, and then it happens.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see which ones they are, because there's a pretty clear split, you know, between the really good teams and the really bad ones. I think a team like the Yankees is going to be really worth watching, because they're right in that. You know, they could get hot and get in the wild card race. I think more likely, though, they don't, And then you guys got guys like Miller and Aroldis Chapman coming up. Those are difference makers. I mean, Chapman could win a pennant for somebody, could win a division, could get you into the wild card. And if the Yankees, you know, start disappearing or continue, whatever, then back there the fans are completely fed up. But, you know, by the trading deadline, everybody's going to be looking at them. And that's just one example. You know, Miami could very well be disappearing by then, and who knows what happens there. So a lot of interesting possibilities.
Well, Fernando Rodney is shooting arrows now for the Marlins, so I think they think they're still in it.
I hope so. I like the Marlins.
Yeah, I like Anitro. I like that story.
Yeah,
he's about 12 away from 3,000. Bruce Jenkins with us. We saw a lot of each other this week, and we had fun, didn't we? Talking to Dwayne Kuiper about the pitcher DHing and hitting for himself and all that. That was fun.
Yeah. Kuiper was quizzing us on you know, the specifics of that, and I don't think none of us knew that if Baggerly was there too. That Paul Richards was managing the 76 White Sox. I mean, Paul Richards goes way back in time. One of the great names in baseball history, and kind of a, you know, he was a pretty crusty guy at that point. You figure, well, maybe he wouldn't be the kind of guy who would do this, but he did. He did let Brad hit, and I've always said that Ken Brad, he was, his actual name is Kemmer. He's a contemporary of mine, same high school year, and I followed him at El Segundo High. He was the kind of guy who would hit a couple of homers and pitch a one-hitter or a no-hitter. He's the best hitting pitcher I've ever seen, and for him to be one of those guys who, you know, you let him, you eschew the DH and let him hit, that just makes sense. And I thought it made sense with Bochy and Bumgarner as well.
Yeah, it was fun, though, wasn't it? I mean, that at-bat, I mean, you talk about a compelling at-bat. We've seen the Bonds at-bats and playoff at-bats. That at-bat, the first one, was compelling.
Yeah, you know, I was looking for you down there. I usually go down to the first couple rows at the Coliseum, you know, because you can. It's like spring training in a way, even on a night with the Giants in town. And so I was right down there with the scouts watching that at-bat, and it was tremendous. I mean, Overton missed with a couple. He's got a pretty good changeup, but he missed with a couple. And then he gets to 3-1. Throws not so bad of a pitch. Bumgarner goes down and rips it to right center, which is impressive, too, because you know how he likes to dead pull balls out of there. But he's I was talking to Mac Williamson before the game, and he said Bumgarner's really, really improving as a hitter with his approach. It's not all just about trying to – he loves to hit the ball deep, and make no mistake. But, you know, he can go the other way. He can get a little more careful with two strikes or whatever, and, you know, he's becoming a more intelligent hitter up there.
You know, it reminds me of the story of Casey Stengel, who, you know, was a tough manager. And, you know, he wasn't the nicest guy in the world with young players. You know, he liked his veterans and platooning and all that. And I think it was Charlie James, I think it was the pitcher, and told me the story that there was a left-handed pitcher for the Yankees, Steve Kraley, I think his name was. And he had, like, a great curveball. And he went out and was in a game and got hit around. And Stengel called him in and said, as you just said of Overton, he had a nice slider or whatever. Said, Kraley, you've got a good curveball. Work on it in Richmond. I'll see you in a few weeks. And Overton is in Nashville right now working on whatever you just said.
Yeah, Casey Stengel once said, he was talking about some kid. He goes, yeah, this kid's 20 years old. In 10 years, he's got a great chance to be 30.
I like that. That's a good one. Yeah, very good. But it was fun watching Bumgarner. And you mentioned Paul Richards. He had done it in the 50s, what he did. And Joe Maddon did this the other day, which is why we love baseball. There's nothing new. Joe Maddon had the left pitcher as the left fielder and had people moving around right all game because he was in such a long game. Paul Richards did this with the White Sox. I think it was Harry Dorish was the pitcher. And he put it, or Billy Pierce, he put him at third and then brought him back and stuff like that. But the Cubs, it brings me to the Cubs because Arrieta's pitching against, I guess it already started already. I haven't seen a score yet. But I guess the Cubs and Mets tonight, Arrieta's pitching, and Cubs are all of a sudden coming back to earth a little bit, and they need a reliever. That's why the Chapman thing becomes very interesting. Whoop. You there, Bruce? Did we lose Bruce? All right, Raph will get it. All right, I think we lost Bruce in that connection. While Bruce is coming back, let me look at the scoreboard here. The Mets are leading. See, already. The Mets are leading the Cubs 2-0. That is in the top of the second. And Arrieta, again, he is struggling. So does Johnny Cueto start the All-Star game? Arrieta still struggles? Boy, that is good. Arrieta, first inning, 2 hits, 2 runs, a walk. And home, Neil Walker took him out with one on. Bruce there? Bruce back? Yeah, there you go. All right.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I forget where we were, but where are we now?
I think I was talking about the Mets and the Cubs, but Arrieta gave up two runs already in the first inning.
Oh, geez. Yeah, they are coming back to earth a little bit, which you know, you figured they were, but they would do that. But I don't know, too good a club for me. And I was talking about Chapman, right. You know, the notion of picking him up. He had a domestic violence issue, and he fired a bunch of gunshots, which is the worst thing he did, at a wall. But, you know, now he comes in, and if he starts striking everybody out at 103 miles an hour, I think you warm to him. I think wherever he's at, the fans are going to warm to that. And if he somehow is lousy, which I doubt because he's really never been lousy, but if he is, everybody's going to go, well, why would you pick up this guy with his history? This is a bad thing to do. But, I selfishly, just from a baseball standpoint, I want to see him go to one of these teams because the Yanks aren't going to do anything with or without him and see how it goes.
Yeah, well, just to follow up with Arrieta, first inning, 35 pitches in the first inning, 19 balls. He walked the first guy, Neil Walker, then hit on a 3-2 pitch. He hit a home run to put him up 2-0, and that's Arrieta in the first inning. So that's what's going on there. Bruce, looking at the Mets a little bit, DeGrom pitched, and he can't get any runs. Syndergaard, Mats. I think the Mets become interesting to see what happens with Terry Collins, if he can keep them together. I like this series, Cubs and Mets. I like what we're watching.
Well, yeah, it's really interesting. I was looking at the Mets through the eyes of the Dodgers and the way they're treating Julio Urias, the young left-hander, 19, who's really good. He's getting better every time. He's really, really good. They haven't wanted him to pitch as much as he has already. They keep giving him another start. They're wondering what they're going to do with him. And they look at the Mets. Syndergaard and Mats both have bone spurs in the elbow. They're pitching, but you know that can't be good. Harvey is kind of in and out. You can't really trust him. You know, Zach Wheeler hasn't come back on time, and you know the Dodgers walked that fine line with this kid. Is he going to be you know Juan Marichal, where he just comes up and goes straight to 250 innings almost? Mm-hmm. Do you have to keep guiding him through the season? Do you make him a reliever? Do you shut him down for a month and bring him back? I mean. But the Mets, you know, that staff is reeling a little bit. I'm sure Terry Collins is really exasperated because he's sitting on a bunch of, you know, five guys who are just tremendous, really. I mean, that's just the staff of the future, you know, and the present. And there's something wrong with most of the, even DeGrom has had, not the arm. I think he had some kind of leg injury or something like that. But,
yeah. It was a lat, I think, for him.
A lat, yeah, a couple of lats.
Something like that.
A latte, I think it was. But
right. He could use a latte because he wasn't getting any runs. They gave him three runs. And then how about Jason Hammel last night? Now, can you imagine Bochy doing this? There's a 65-minute rain delay, and I guess that 9 o'clock was the drop-dead hour. If the game started before 9 o'clock, after the rain delay, then you could come, you know, according to Magic.
Yeah.
It started exactly 9 o'clock, so they put Jason Hammel back in. He gave up five home runs and ten runs, and DeGrom was the beneficiary. DeGrom said, I'm not leaving. I'm staying.
Yeah.
Because he finally got some run support. So, I don't know. Bruce, this is what makes baseball baseball. Look at yesterday in the 19-inning game with Cleveland-Toronto. Cleveland's bullpen goes 13 shutout innings with four hits.
Trevor Bauer pitched the last five.
How about that?
Yeah, 83 pitches in relief. Yeah, and then the great thing is that nobody really knows. Here we are, you know, 150 years later or whatever, and we still don't really know about the pitcher's arm. And you know, it's not – you make the call, you live with it, you know, and it's just it'll play out because it's baseball. It's beyond anyone's control in some cases.
Boy, that's what makes the game great.
Yeah.
Just talking a little bit about Giants in Arizona last night and watching the game and – you know, this is why Arizona, you know, is miserable. You know, they got a 4-3 lead. They got first base open. They got the pitcher coming up next. And Shelby Miller gives up a two-run single to Trevor Brown. And the Giants never look back. And I'm looking at Chip Hale saying, are you in the game? Are you there? Hello? Anyone around? And that was the end of the game for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, I got to think Dave Stewart and Tony La Russa, who run that club, are pretty exasperated. They have been for quite a while. They make the big deal for Miller. They give up, you know, Swanson, the number one pick. They give up Inciarte. A lot of their future gone, and now they're just buried. Miller's hasn't been good. The team is is really not inspiring in any way, and they're playing in that stupid ballpark. There's just not a lot of great atmosphere in there. It's not stupid, but it doesn't have any atmosphere whatsoever. It's not a yard. You know, it's a hangar. But and Samardzija goes in there now, which is going to be interesting. But yeah, they I just can't see Chip Hale managing the team next year. No. I know they like him personally. Anyone would like him personally, you know, but there's nothing there. There's no there.
No, it's not happening there. I'll tell you that. So it sort of reminds me of a pinball machine. That's what it looks like being.
Yeah, there's no here there.
There's nothing there. And if Pat Corbin gets it together, he's 0-5 there with a 7-earned run average. So we'll see what Samardzija does tonight. But you know, look, they need Samardzija to kind of pull it together. June, other than the game against Tampa Bay, was just miserable. He's healthy. He's got the arm. But he's got to pitch. He's got to pitch because this is, you know, now it's going to start getting more interesting, and he's got to do his job.
Yeah, yeah. People are starting to think, oh my God, this is the same guy that, you know, pitched for the White Sox last year. I don't know. I'm very soft on Samardzija. I really just really like the guy. I'm maybe a little too generous with my opinion, but I just think he's going to be fine. I think he's still going to be firing bullets at the end of the season in meaningful games. And I always see him pitching a good game. I just like his competitive nature. He's certainly not a mechanical wizard out there. And you know, if he's not keeping the ball down or keeping the slider low and away, he's going to get in trouble, and that's going to happen. Yeah. But he's pitched a lot of good games this year, and I think he'll have a lot more.
Yeah, no, he's worked. Look, he's worked already 103 innings already. He's got 16 starts, and we're just starting the second half, so 200-plus innings. I did this stat on Corbin just to throw it out. I know new people join the show as we go through it. First pitch, 24 for 58 with 5 homers.
No.
Because if he gets you 0-1, you hit 196 after that. If it's 1-0, you hit 323. So he wants that first pitch in there. So
I'd love to know how many the percentage of those first pitches were fastballs. Are guys just looking for that and you know they're going to rake?
Yeah,
I love first pitch hitting in general, as you know, but yeah, that's alarming.
Yeah, so we'll see how that. Who knows? You know, sometimes the numbers tell you some story. So that could be the story tonight. All right, well, Bruce, I appreciate having you on. Did you see the end of the soccer game?
Yes, I did. Yeah, that was unbelievable. I mean, I've been following Germany for a long time, and they never miss their penalty kicks like ever. They'll hit 20 in a row over the years, and there's three of their real mainstays. You know, Ozil and Schweinsteiger and Müller all missed, like, really badly.
Well, Schweinsteiger hit into the seats.
Yeah, in England when that happened with David Bingham, the next day the tabloids, they'd show, like, a drawing of the galaxy. There's Saturn and Venus, and then there's Beckham's ball.
That's funny. That's pretty exciting.
They would have been killed back home. But, yeah, and yet they still win. They still win the penalty shootout. And Italy's crushed, and it's devastating. And so much passion. I love big-time international soccer.
Well, I saw Fiorentina play, not Firenze, Fiorentina. I said it incorrectly, so beer can corrected me. Fiorentina, not Firenze. I think Firenze is an item on the menu at U.S. restaurant in North Beach. I think that's what
it is. Yeah, it's a damn good beer in southern Italy, I think.
That's for sure. All right. Yeah. Hey, great to talk to you. Talk to you tomorrow, Bruce.
Sounds good, Marty. Thanks a million.
All right, thanks so much. Come on. We could do the whole show with this guy. All right, more coming up on the Sports Leader.